conversation about what's going on in consent. And then you have been a professor and a student advisor and a mentor at Olympic College. And you started a Steps to Success program, which is a mentorship program for students in order to provide students resources they need to have a full collegiate experience. And then, I believe it was 2017, if I got that date right? 2018, started G2, Gather Together, Grow Together. And from your website, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to pitch it over to you. Yeah, Laurel's mission, which is now G2's mission, is to ensure that every KSAP resident has the supportive resources needed to succeed. So, that's a little bit about Marwan and what I know about him. But Marwan, tell us a little bit about yourself and growing up, a little bit about your background. I think you went to church a little bit, and how you became a college professor, and what you taught, and what led you to G2, to launch G2. Yeah.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me, Pastor Beal, and thank you, church, for having me. Honored to be here in the Church of God this morning. First and foremost, I just have to say, my father was still here with us. He loved pipe organ. So he played the organ, and he just loved this. And so he would sit in for hours. He actually was the musician over at Mount Zion here in Birmingham. Before he went back to the East Coast. But a little bit about me, and I will vacillate between talking quickly and slowly. My story is kind of long. But I was born in Buffalo, New York in 1973 to a single mother when I was 16. And during those times in the 70s, if you weren't married, that wasn't often looked upon in a positive way. And so I experienced homelessness as an infant. And so my mother did what she could, as I knew of the story, because I never met her. And she counseled her, she stayed in different places, and just got to the point where she couldn't do it. And so the best choice for her was to give me up for adoption. So she did that. I was in foster care for a while here. I lived on a farm. But the Kingstons, it was a white family. I had my own horse, fancy pants, and a carriage. And it was great, and lived there until I was five. And my adoptive father, Reverend Winthrop Stewart Cameron, found me in a binder about this thing, about 3 inches. It was called The Cat Book in New York, of all these children that needed homes. And so I remember our first meeting was at a Burger King, and he asked me if I was going to Whopper. And I said, oh, I don't want a Whopper. Well, Whoppers were passing gas. That's how I was raised. So I didn't want any Whoppers. No. And so, we had a few visits. And then I came to live with him, and he adopted me. I was the first child he adopted. He was 24 years old. In seminary. He never did. He adopted 17 other children over the course of his lifetime. And so I was the first of many different generations of Camerons. He changed our names. If we were young, our names changed. So Marwan is Arabic for historical personage. I was actually born David. It's actually my birth name, again, but it was changed. And so we lived in New York until the age of 9. I came here and started school in Seattle at John Ward. And I went to school. And when I turned 15, I ended up in kids' prison, if you will, in Echo Glen for my behavior. And I actually assaulted my father. And I went back into the foster care system. And so, when I was about 11, it's my daughter's age, I was struggling with not knowing who my family was. I wanted my mother, wanted my family, I didn't know. And so all these things were changing. But after that time, I went back into foster care. And so I lived in a bunch of receiving homes and foster homes. And unfortunately, those experiences were pretty horrific. Locked in basements with roaches and just assaults and things of that nature. When I turned 17, I was in downtown at the YMCA on 4th Avenue. I decided to emancipate myself. Like, there was no point in me being a ward of the state. I just kind of struck out on my own at that time. I came up with basically. I went to school during the day. I went to work at night. The telemarketers, so we do this for the firefighters. And I tried and I tried and I tried. But something was always in the back of my mind. I went to the ninth grade. But my father would always say, God, education, and then children. That was his credo, that was his motto. And so 2 days after my 16th birthday, I just went downtown to Seattle Central and sat for my GED and passed that. And when I was 24, I had had enough. I tried everything. And, you know, it's like, all right, I need to call my dad. And so I called him up, and we had this conversation. And so he went next door, you know, 63285, bigger line. And so he says, well, Frank, you know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up the phone and go and put your pride on the shelf, and when you're ready to call, we'll call back. And so he made me think about it, call him, and I need to come home. So I have a very prodigal son story to tell. And so I came home and started going to go to college and got my degree. And then after that, moved on to Old Dominion University, got my bachelor's degree. And at that point, well, I don't see it, I actually had laying my mom ticket. And I proposed to her at our graduation in Old Dominion in Virginia. And she said, well, that's to get our master's degree. So I was in a hurry to get my master's degree. We did our master's together. We got a master's in education. And when the pastor field left out was, you know, there was no money for us. I had to go straight to work. So I took a job with the Navy College Office. I was a contractor. And so my job has always been service and help. So I did that. And then after that contract ended, I ended up at Olympic College. And who did I know? You know, I went with a GED and a higher education would actually be teaching other folks at the college. So why that was so important is being a non-traditional student, as they call it, there's not a lot of support that's there. Right? So you go in, there's financial aid, but where are your skills? Where are those soft skills? Where are those hard skills? I didn't have any of those things. It was very jaded and bitter. I was a construction worker, so I made more in the 90s than I did as a whole master's, which you know, CE, which is pretty strange. But that's what it was. So I can identify with what students were going through, just having that isolation and not having support. And so in that, I started Steps to Success, which you alluded to. And really what that was is for the veterans out there, you know, there's a veterans office that, you know, there's support, right? There's a room of resources and other veterans that come together and have that support. Running Star students have the same thing. But non-traditional students didn't have that. And so I created that. So I would, you know, pop up food is called Professor Spaghetti. I still make it now. And actually bring food into my classroom because the stakes are so high, right? And we'll talk about that later on. And so I started that program. The problem was, as great as that program was, if you didn't come into that college and come into my specific program, I couldn't serve you. And my niece was living in a car on top of that was down some other next to the restaurant next to Sherry's with a bunch of other 20-year-olds that were just kind of out on their own. Didn't want to really adhere to the rules at home, but you know, just kind of a failure to march. I would never ever be able to serve my own niece who's sitting homeless in a car. And so I thought, all right, let me go ahead and start something up. That's how G2 was created.
Gather together, grow together.
Yeah.
And I first heard about G2. Michael Stavanis is one of our church members and friends we've known through the years, and he gave me your card before I'd ever met you and told me about this G2 thing a few years ago. So, tell us what G2 does and what a typical day looks like for G2.
Well, answer the first one. The second one first. There is no typical day. But the main thing that we do is we are a transportation company, right? Pastor Susie talked about the mission, but our values and mission is self-sufficiency for all the residents of Kitsap County. If you don't know, there is no bus service here in downtown all the time. Like the bus stops running about 8:30 during the day. Matter of fact, we have a client that we give a ride to work, and she is using access services through Kitsap Transit, which is great. However, Kitsap access cannot guarantee that she will get to work on time. Well, when you're on a fixed income and you're trying to pay for this rent that is not affordable in this county, you have to get to work on time. And so while there are some resources here, there are huge gaps in accessibility and transportation. Oftentimes we look at money as being the thing, the resource that people need the most, but we believe that it's time, because with time we can do the other things that we need to do. So we really try to give back time. That's the most important thing. So we have a transportation company, we have partnerships with that mental health. And so we'll take folks to their mental health appointments, we take people to get their methadone treatments, to do their dialysis. To even connect with non-traditional parents for their child care visits. So anything that we can do to support, we do that. And we're about half the price of a cab for Uber. So we're able to provide those resources. We just purchased our first wheelchair accessible van this year, so we're very proud of that. And so that's the first thing that we do. The other thing we do is we provide food. So food is really important to my father, it's really important to me. And so that's a big deal for us. So every Sunday, now Pastor Ellington is here with me from New Horizons Ministries. And the pastor before, Pastor Ellington, and my father were friends. And so got to know them, and they let us use their kitchen. So they had a soup kitchen, it was the old Rescue Mission kitchen. And so what we would do is go out and supplies with these huge samples. They're only about, and my cook would, right on one day, smoke them on a Saturday, and serve them on a Sunday. They're on real plates, real silverware, playing jazz music. They didn't have to eat out of styrofoam. They didn't have to eat around. They could sit for a couple hours and just be, have that humanity restored in them for a little bit. But then we would have our folding closet there, and we'd be able to provide resources. COVID, unfortunately, changed that, and the church moved, but we still work with the Horizon Ministry. Every Thursday we do food service, so when COVID hit, we would serve right outside of 7-Eleven, right? Our urban demand shop right there downtown, that's where our offices are. Some other agencies started doing that, and so we said, hey, we have transportation. Why don't we go ahead and partner that with food? There are people that are experiencing food insecurity all throughout the county. So now we do about 80 meals every Thursday from King Harbor all the way to Tolstoy, right? So we're providing these meals to folks so they don't have to try to come and get things. So these are, shepherd's pie, the food your grandma would make, and so we wanted to be hearty, we want people to feel love through the food. During the summer, we work with OSPI, which is the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, and so we provide meals for kids from 0 to 18. So that was about 80 meals every day, and 80 snacks, about 100 meals every single day prepared, adhering to the nutritional guidelines. And for us, what we wanted to do was introduce flavors, introduce different foods, because many folks that are experiencing food insecurity are in food deserts, right? So what is hummus? I didn't have hummus until I was an adult, right? What is strong bowling? What are these different things? How do you mix and match these foods together? And so the kids love it. And so that is another food service we do during the summer. And some of this work, how are you a peacemaker? And we would create and go to a different neighborhood every month, every fourth Saturday, we would do a barbecue. So we bought these huge grills, we would grill hot dogs and hamburgers, and just in hopes to get the neighborhood that we were providing food for, to come out and eat and talk with each other, you've got some construction background, you're a mechanic, you're a nurse, you have transportation, you're a tutor in math, and really get to coming back and meeting and talking and understanding your neighbors and building relationships. And then every fourth Wednesday at the New Horizon Ministries, we do a pancake breakfast. And we have different agencies come on and they can bring their clients. And then after that, we cook 50 meals and we take them down home and provide food to them. And then we also have resources. I know there's a lot there. We did knew about. You know, during COVID, that eviction assistance was really needed. And so we are going to buy for is an agency that is designed to give resources to hard to reach locations, right? So oftentimes the resources are extended, prominent groups get access to those resources, and sometimes, you know, Black folks and other BIPOC community members don't get access to those resources, so they're extended by the time they get it. So currently, we are one of five agencies right now that currently provide eviction assistance to people that have not been able to pay their rent before the first time. There's no other money in the county right now. So that is an important thing. And so then we also do case management. Folks can come in and need help with TANF or whatever resource that is and connect with that. So,
recent moments that I have got to witness in Victoria. We met with coffee at Starbucks downtown, right there on Warren Avenue. And as we were getting our coffee on the inside, one of your drivers was driving through the drive-thru to get his coffee. So you have a fleet of vans, and you have volunteer drivers that go through your program and training to get. And so there's volunteers driving vans to go pick people up and take them where they need it. And you have connections with Consent Mental Health and Consent Community Resources Assembly. You have contracts with these organizations that will pay you to transport these people, right? And so another, and you would just share that example, maybe you all heard it in the news, but a month ago there was a fire at a hotel at the Midway Inn in East Bremerton, and the fire department needed to get people out and move to a safe location, and who did they call? They called Dharma and G2 to come with their vans and transport people, right? And so that's just sort of literally the rubber hitting the road to make things happen for people in these moments. Because G2's only been around for 4 years, but it has become a trusted resource, and you're connected with so many people just everywhere throughout Kitsap County and made a trusted organization there. So today's scripture that Deanna read is from 2 Corinthians 5 and about reconciliation. Reconciliation is mine. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that we are ambassadors of Christ to be people with reconciliation wherever we are. We have a little bit of a conversation about that, Rebecca Coffee. How does this scripture speak to you as a peacemaker, this idea of reconciliation?
You know, so it's interesting that the timing is now. So there's a lot of reconciliation that is going on here in the county that you may or may not know. One big one is, you know, there is the agency, Consent Homeless and Housing Coalition, right? There's three different dimensions. And so this is a bunch of different organizations that are working together to try to solve the homeless situation. And so I look at that as our reconciliation, right? Is community members coming, whether they're part of the agency or an individual, coming together to try to solve these issues. What's been happening lately is now there are more groups that are coming to the table and they are pushing forward. So one of the things that we do is have another podcast that we cover city council meetings. And through that, we have been able to empower others to use their voice for those that are experiencing homelessness on MLK, right? And so this is a reconciliation for them to be able to advocate and use their voices and not feel like they're unempowered, they don't know what they can do, and they can't find out a deal, but that doesn't change the situation. It just solves a problem for 10 minutes or 20 minutes for everyone that belly is full. So that's one, and I'm seeing that take place. Two, we have, you know, we are living in a very polarized time, right? Whether it's politically or however you want to look at it, we're so divisive here in this country right now. And you know, I look and I see, where am I today? Right? I'm not sitting in a black church, right? I'm sitting in a white church having a conversation because I was invited in to have a conversation, right? To fellowship, to build relationship. That's different. That hasn't been done before. I've never done this before. This is my first time. So this is fantastic, right? That is a reconciliation, and when you can see it, it gives you joy, right? It gives you your empowerment, you know, to keep going. You know that, you know, that hope is there, right? When your faith in God is rewarded, right? So you get to see it. The third one is we have issues in our own communities, right? So even in the Black community, we're not humble. And so we don't agree with how things go, right? We're fighting really hard right now here in this community, right? So it's really hard to move together as one voice and advocate for our needs, for our people, when we're at odds with each other. But we have all of this unresolved issues that stem from slavery, right? Now, let's say we like community, right? You have Republicans and Democrats and everything else. So it exists everywhere. But it's something that now in this community we're actually trying to address. So we met last month, and we're meeting in October to do that reconciliation work, right? To talk about how I did harm, why did this happen, how can we go forward? I'm a big advocate of social contracts, you know. How are we going to regard each other? How are we going to resolve the issues that come up? So those are the three things that I see.
Well, in scripture, really gets to all of us being reconciled to God first, that is what Paul is writing. I implore you, be reconciled to God. When we are reconciled to God in Jesus, that then we find that common ground, right? And we're just kind of bickering about our human differences and things we want to fight about. That is a harder road of reconciliation. And when we see one another through the eyes of Christ, and to see God loves you just as much as God loves me, right? And God loves Laura and Pastor Ellington and John and all of us as much. And the person I really, really love them, God loves them too, right? And to be reconciled to God first, get that inner conflict reconciled, makes us more able to then make peace and reconcile with one another. And yet, to be honest and tell the truth about what's really going on, and that's where that cultural understanding of peace as being quiet is not true peace, right? We really want to listen and make space for people. And so, gosh, we can go on and on. There's so much going on here. Your Conduit podcast, it's on YouTube, right?
Yes.
It's a YouTube podcast. It's kind of a video cast.
It's YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, there's no affordable housing here for them. There's not a lot of jobs that are going to pay the wages that they need to take care of themselves and their family. COVID hit, and that just exponential means that the situation works. And the county gave out billions of dollars to try to rectify that. However, evictions have started. And as we go forward, you know, COVID relief funds are exhausted. Doesn't look like those things are going to come back right now. There are no funding, no new funding that has been announced. So you can see evictions begin to increase, right? And if you've been driving around, you see the homeless on MLK is increasing. There is a homeless population in Silverdale now. You see them in Port Orchard, you see them in Paulsville, you see them in Bamber Diamond. You can go to the county's website and see the point in time card and look at that. So what you can also see is the erection of all these storage facilities, you know, showing up all over Kitsap County because people are downsizing, right? They're moving in, you see more multi-generational families. If you're blessed to have a multi-generational family then to move into, and you're seeing those cows surfing, you're seeing more people in the crowds. So this is a crisis that is unseen, that is going to get worse. And what we see is, you know, there's a correlation, huge correlation between those that are experiencing homelessness or teetering on as instability and mental health, right? So, you know, folks can get a bad rap and say, oh, you know, well, these folks are drug addicts, they're alcoholics, you know, they talk to themselves. And that's not typically the case. It's, I'm homeless, I'm struggling to provide for myself and my family, and now here come the mental health problems, here comes the self-medication, right? And now this is an issue on top of an issue. I lost a job, I had a health issue. And so you're going to see this explode, and the community really needs us. So peacemaking here in this county, that is what to me, is. When you look at where those fissures are, where those gaps are, we see transportation, we see food, we see opportunity, we see education, job training, access, but application, all of those things, all of the above. So what you can do is, you know, and not necessarily talking to the foundation, but anyone, is benign neglect is what I see a lot, right? Where folks, you know, maybe understand, I can't, you know, I have operations folks, and that's great, that's very powerful, but you really have to be activated and take action, and you all have a lot of skills and abilities to bring to bear whatever those things are, a conversation with someone who's experiencing whatever they're experiencing, but you don't know, I'll have conversations with a cashier who just had a bad interaction with the person in front of you, and just say, you know, hey, how you doing? Look, you know, yeah, that was tough. And just really got to go. I'm also left. All right, you got a couple hours left. I mean, you got, and you see the smile, and you just restore something in them. So there's little things that you can do, but there's bigger things that you can do too. So I just implore you to find ways to activate and really give back. We need each other.
And you're always taking volunteers.
I'm always taking volunteers.
Driving around people, serving food, those are some of the needs you have there.
Yeah, we have a podcast covering events, like right after here, we have a run pretty quickly after Black Student Union is having a block party for kids of all ages, and face painting and food trucks and all these different things. So they've asked us to cover that event. I can't cover the CK board meetings and the city council meetings and the REAC meetings and, you know, other things that the 9/11 sacrifice of service events and then, you know, all the other shows that we have on. So yes, we need people. We put that. But we've been doing the work and, you know, God goes before us and gives us that strength. To see a lot larger than what we are.
And people can follow you on Facebook, Gather
G2, Gather
Together. You guys
can
put it on there.
They
have a website.
www.g2g2.org. And that's why I'm going over the website. Oh, that's a mic. It's a little.
You wrote it
down for me. It's a conduitnetwork.org.
God, we're so grateful for the work that you are doing and through Marijuana and G2 group and would open our minds and our hearts and our imaginations for ways we can help leverage resources and be your peacemakers, your shalom makers in this city and in this county and this time, wherever we are. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.